The DL Debate with Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love till 9 p.m. daily in Sarah's Kitchen. And there's free admission entertainment every weekend. Check
Welcome to the DL Debate. Thanks so much for tuning in. Now live on Highland Radio, we're back via the podcast. This is a special live broadcast here from Ross's Park. Don't know what's up for the match. Well done. We had a practice go there. That was very good second time round. Listen, we're down to Dunlow here. Where else would you want to be? It's Championship week. It's a huge week for the club. It's been a brilliant couple of seasons and a brilliant couple of weeks for the club. We're going to get into all that shortly. Joining myself and Porrick are delegates from the club here. For St. Union's players have joined us, Brendan Kilcoyne and Conal Dunn. We'll also be hearing from chairman of the club, Paddy McGowan. We have a couple of club stalwarts and legends here in the form of Noel McCall, who was involved back in that 1960 final. We have Jimmy O'Donnell, Jimmy Greaves O'Donnell, because I hear he was able to score goals from corner back. That's the nickname on Jimmy. You might get a couple of them this Sunday, Jimmy. You wouldn't know, hey. And also, we're joined by a couple of Dunlow men. Of course, my hero, Tony Boyle, and Raymond Sweeney. Give me a round of applause. Folks, it's a fascinating encounter set up for the weekend, this senior final. It was 16 teams. It's down to two. We're going to get into it all now shortly. We have a brilliant panel here, and we're going to get a bit of nostalgia as well from a few people. But first of all, there was championship honours given out at the weekend, junior and intermediate Park. We're starting with the junior first, and a huge victory for Niamh Padraic of Muff. New territory for them now. They're going to be flying the flag on the Ulster. And a game, Park, where people couldn't really pick a winner. Niamh Padraic were on another level.
Going into that particular encounter, it was, you know, you were looking at Ciarán Donnagh coming in off the back of, a huge number of performances, unbeaten in the Championship, and Niamh Padraic Kikín, they came in as well, having won a senior men's title, you know, at this particular grade. And to get a performance like they got, Brendan, we were doing the commentary on it. It was a serious performance by Daniel McCauley's side. They were brilliant from start to finish. You know, going in at half time, I think we referenced that the game was nearly done at half time. It was 2-9 to 2 points. I think that was the half time score. But you know, you're looking at the performance of Cailín McColgan was just immense. You know, he was just brilliant. Cormac McColgan at midfield as well. You had a few really really good performances throughout the day, and just Ciarán could not get into it. You know,
The Division 2 campaign, they played Dunlow, I think Ardragh, they had good performances before Masters, sides they got. They looked like a senior team. They were set up like a senior team. They had their defensive shape, and when they broke forward then, particularly with McColgan inside and Big Lynch as well, you know, those early opportunities, they built up a lead, and really, you know, Ciarán, their setup versus, you know, the way that Niamh Padraic were set up. They're set up, it's a modern type game.
That's something you referenced quite a bit, you know, was their defensive shape and how Ciarán couldn't really break them down. And you could see how well coached they were from that point.
I referenced this when you allowed me to speak. You know, you were blathering on a good bit, hey, but no, listen, great commentary from this man at the weekend. He was first class. Of course, Convoy picked up the Junior B title as well. And then Terman won a couple of titles. We'll move on anyway to the next.
Hang on a minute there.
We'll move on. Listen, Porrick, of course, listen, no more than a lot of things happening in Dunlow. Terman, again, we had a bit of a fear for Niamh Columba, particularly because of the previous, you know, group game that could they keep with Terman. But it was a real controlled performance by Terman on the day, winning both titles, and it's been a great couple of weeks for the club.
Brilliant, you know, as I say, there's no secret, you know, at the end of the day, the lads, they were tipped to be favourites going into that decider against Glen Colmkill. A dangerous game, I thought, you know. You know, any game, Brendan, you go into, you have a massive performance, maybe the week, or the couple of weeks beforehand, you know, and then you're playing them in the final again. So, look, it was a really good performance by our lads. So delighted for them, because they worked really, really hard. I think Cailín McDade, the manager, referenced that they did over 180 training sessions this year. They really, really wanted to get back up into senior football. And, you know, they performed like that yesterday, and suppose everyone within the parish was delighted with the performance. They didn't look in trouble throughout that game. I felt, you know, they were in control of it. The reserves doing back to back, you know, they won the league and they won the Division 2 championship, you know, and you know, we're just chatting about numbers and getting players out, you know, for first couple of
years we're starting to have a reserve team that can compete, you know, and it's great, Brendan, and I suppose it's no more that it's great to be down in Dunloe and seeing the work they're doing and look where they've gone in so short a time. In 2 years they're in a senior final. So as I say, from Terman's point of view, we're absolutely delighted, and you know, we're going to celebrate this one.
Yeah, it's a young team, but going into Ulster and being up in the senior championship, vital things in terms of the progression of the club.
Absolutely. You know, they're a young team, but I think they have played in a lot of big stages. You know, they got as far as the Ulster minor final that time a couple of years ago. The couple of nucleuses there. You've Enda McCormick, you've Darren McDade. You've also you've got a number of players that have played at a high level. Jimmy Grant as well. You know, so look, they come with that, you know, ability that they have. Like, and Jack Alcorn stepped up yesterday as well for Term. You know, another lad, really, really good footballer. So you know, it'll not fear them in that way. You know, I think tactically as well. You know, they're astute, and that's what you need to be when you get into Ulster. Yeah, you're going to come up against really, really good sides. So, yeah. No challenge.
Were you swinging from the rafters in the lagoon last night?
Not me personally, no. There's a few of them still, huh?
You can't get up to them anymore. You're jumping up there. The
hamstring goes, you know.
Listen, first class. Listen, well done to two boys. As I say, you know, savage healing. Well done to Kim McDade and his team, and Dan McCauley as well. Listen, when you set out the start of the season, it's all about heading for the championship. And in senior ranks, there's two teams that are there now. And we're going to, Tony, just before we get into the senior stuff, we have to mention the ladies and the rise in power that is the Dunloe ladies, another title in the bag.
Yeah, Bryn, you know, we've been very lucky to have, you know, this last 3-4 years, a lot of success from underage right through to seniors. And it's probably testament to a lot of coaches. I see a lot of them down there. Obviously, myself and Raymond are looking after the senior ladies and the minors. And you have Joe Boyle, who's looking after the 16s and the under 15s, and Brent McGee, Sean Sharkey, Mark Clerk. And it's basically a lot of ex-footballers that you know, coached at underage level at boys. Some of us coached the senior team. And then because we all have daughters, we were getting it then in the year that we didn't help out on that side. So I got involved about, I think, 6 years ago with an under 13 team, and the majority of them now are all through. This is their last year at minor level, and we've just won three minor titles in a row. We've won three under 16 titles in a row. We've won three under 15s and two under 14s. So there's been a lot of good work, you know, and we were lucky because we had a real good base of senior girls already there. At a good age, but they probably didn't get the coaching at underage level than some of the younger ones coming up, you know. So listen, we've been, you know, the girls have been involved in four county finals in a row. We lost the first two junior titles, and that was tough, but they stuck with it, and we managed to win the junior title last year, and first year up at intermediate level, and to win intermediate level at our first chance was brilliant.
And everyone wants to know about this halftime team talk that you give. 9-2 down, right?
No, listen, we didn't play well on the day. To be fair to Ardra, and I said it after the match, Ardra came out very, very aggressively and, you know, really, really, really pushed us back. There was a bit of a breeze now, but listen, we did miss a few chances before half time that probably could have kept it a wee bit closer. But listen, we brought on a couple of subs, but probably we brought on three 15-year-old girls who had already won an under 15, 16 and minor championship, and they really turned the tide. And that just shows you the depth of talent that's there, you know. But it was, it was a tight game, and we just managed to get over the line in the end, you know, which is great.
Yeah, magic stuff. Well done, Tony, and to all the girls there. Paddy McGowan, chairman.
Yes, hey,
at the start of the season, we expect in this stage of here, there was a plan. Has it come about a bit sooner than you thought? I mean, it's been a remarkable season for Dunno.
Ah, it has, Brendan. Listen, it's we're probably in uncharted territories now in a county final. Like, you know, I suppose Stesi's in 4 years now. I know it took me about 6 weeks to convince him to take the job away back. I was only secretary at the time, but I thought he was in charge of a minor team. They got a B final. I thought a wee bit of continuity, take the players through, would have been good for the club. And listen, look at it today, where it is now. It has worked, like, you know, but listen, absolutely thrilled to be where we are today. Like,
yeah, and you were secretary for a few years and now chairman. Is it a question, once you're in, you can't get out?
Seems to be the lock's on, you just can't get out. Like, but listen, yeah. fantastic group of people right through the club. Listen, we have a lot of cogs in the machine here, and everybody's putting the shoulder to the wheel. And listen, everything is going in the right direction. Brilliant new development happened down below there, as you can see out the window. Culture then, the hurling, the camogie, girls football, as Tony alluded to there, and the boys football now, listen, to the county final, listen, just to take the county title back now on Sunday night.
That's the one.
We're going to put the top of the cake, like, you know.
Yes, that's fighting talk. That's what we want to hear. Hey, we can't be sitting on the fence. Tell me, you know, at Sunday morning there, we went down to the kids coaching there, you know, just the wee ones.
Sure.
And, you know, I know the county probably probably have a bit less, you know, wee ones out the pitch and that, but not until the county final happens, you get the situation where people are signing jerseys and things. And I just love seeing that, though, the wee ones up and, you know the buzz that gives to the lads and that. And for all the wee kids here, you know, about recruitment and the next generation, you know, it's powerful to have that. They look up to you, they have to be in the county final.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, McCool Park there 2 weeks ago, like the faces of the people of Dunloe was just unbelievable, you know. And we had our wee day yesterday here with the kids and that there, because listen, it kind of gets lost in McCool Park and all the adults are in and they're congratulating all the players. Like, so we had our wee day here yesterday with the players and we had a big crowd here and they got their jerseys signed and had a penalty kicks and stuff like that there. So listen, very, very good.
Were you in nets for that?
No, I wasn't.
The boots are hung up. The boots are long hung up.
Long gone.
Barry, 100%. But listen, wishing you all the best.
Listen,
weekend,
Brendan, thank you and the team for coming to Aloha. You're more than welcome any time here. So listen.
I have to mention something about your bingo here before we go any further, because I'll forget that. Nice lady who's making me my tea, wired me. Bingo on Saturday night, next week at 8 p.m. the clubhouse. Duty County final on Sunday, and I'm coming down to draw out the balls for you. So.
Thanks, Brendan.
Barry, you gentleman. Thanks very much. Fair play to you, Paddy. Paddy mentioned, go ahead, Park.
I said there's a song as well, Brennan.
There's a wee song, actually. Good man, see the Parks. Parks had switched on there. Hey, there was
the
a wee
Muttley,
song.
The Muttley Crew.
The Muttley Crew, JP, yeah. And then we're at it. And yeah, let's hear a few bars from that, Park.
Here's Robert.
In Dunloe, in Dunloe, the red and white Dunloe.
You'll be singing that on Sunday night, Brian, will you?
That could be happening, yeah, that could be
Make
happening.
Sure that's on the...
We don't have a song now, I feel jealous of that there. We
used to have the boombox, don't you, in the dressing room? All the Unions boys always did, yeah.
We'll have to get a man in. We're going to have to upstage this song now. No, well done to JP and the Muttley crew there. Listen, that's all part of it. It's a bit of crack. Paddy mentioned there, Ray, semi-finals. That team we were talking about coming down the car, Dunloe always had... Good team, solid Division 1. You know, we're knocking on the door so often, but never actually made the final. You did come close on a few occasions, particularly the mid-noughties. And I don't know if you were around in 96 or not. You might have been a bit of a cub then.
I was, Brent, next year. It was around 96. Probably that was one of the closer games. We ended up playing Neave Columba. Or we ended up beating, playing Neave Columba in McCool Park. And I think we were 2 points up and there was a penalty given against us. He scored that there, and we had a chance then for a last-minute goal. I think James Tony's brother had a chance and was saved. Came back out, and I think I gave it to Eddie, and Eddie put it wide, and that was a chance. And at an 18-year-old, you probably thought, God, I'm going to be in lots of semi-finals, and it wasn't the case. I don't think we're back in one maybe till 2003, and then it was 2007 where we played Glenn Swilly, who had just come up from intermediate. And again, I think we're winning by 4 points, Tony, is that right? And again, I think we're beating that team. And then we ended up, every other semi-final, we ended up beating St. Unions. So they were just a complete hoodoo over us.
Was that a quarter-final in 12?
12 was a semi-final.
Was that a semi? Because I said to your bro,
yeah,
that was a semi. And he was like, no, it was a quarter.
It was a semi. I think I remember played, it was a Sunday night, actually.
Because you should have won that match.
From my
perspective,
yeah, I think it was a close enough game, but again, Unions at that time, you know, had a super team throughout. You know, they didn't have one player to look after; they had, you know, 14 or 15 players to look after and a couple of subs as well. So, listen, that's what I'm saying. It was a huge occasion last Sunday to get over that semi final hoodoo and to get into a final and a relief. And I'm so delighted and proud of all the lads, you know. So
yeah. And same as your memories of that, Tony.
Yeah, the 96 one, Bryn, because I remember it was the old 15 Division 1 teams, and we played 14 league games. We won 14 out of 14. We went through the league unbeaten. You know, we had a good team. We had a good mix of older boys, and obviously Eddie and Raymond, Sean Sharkey and boys like that were coming through. And listen, again, I said it to the boys before the semi-final last week when we were training on Friday, and I had a quick word with the boys, whether it was we weren't good enough or bad luck or we didn't believe, we just didn't get over the line. And them semi-finals, that one hurt because, you know, I always said it to Noel and John Joe, you know, it was a very soft penalty they got. But I think Glenn had been in five finals in the 90s, and they just knew how to, they knew how to get over the line. We didn't. Again, I was managing the team, player manager, in 2007 when we came up against Glen Swally. And again, a game that we led, and we let slip away again. So I think I've been involved in five, either playing or managing, and we just couldn't get over the line. But like as Raymond said, I happened to be sitting beside Ray on last Saturday, and when the final, or the Sunday evening when the final whistle went, Brendan, it was just unbelievable. Like, yeah, you know, just to see that group of players, you know. And don't get me wrong, I've given them stick down through the years, you know, because hey, there's days, you know, they didn't have a good league campaign, and I said it when we headed up to Glenfinn, we weren't overly hopeful that we'd get a victory in Glenfinn the first day. But to be fair to the lads, they got a good result, and we beat Ballyshannon. Just we got a wee bit of momentum, and it started to grow. And I think the result against Glen Swally in the quarter final give them real belief, you know. And but it's just absolutely fantastic to be looking forward to watching our club in a county final.
Yeah, just a change in the, I'm thinking back in 96 there, you had the long blonde flowing curls. You know, you were the main man, ball forward, no doubt. And did you always just stay in there? You didn't come out and be a midfielder for a while like a lot of people are now?
No, well, I actually played midfield for the club a lot. I think in that final I did, or in that semi-final I played full forward, and of course John Joe was full back, you know, so that was a battle in itself. But I did play a lot of midfield, but, you know, there was, when you played midfield, you were playing midfield, you still had six forwards, you know, ahead of you. You know, the game's completely changed now, and yeah, I don't think it would suit someone like me. As I said, I don't think myself and the green machine, Connor Green, two lazy full forwards, would get away in Desi's team. One of us would have to be sacrificed, yeah. But it's just the way the game's changed now.
Yeah, and listen, we'll chat about Desi in a minute and everything he's doing. Porrick, if you had to have a Donegal starting 15 ever, would you put Tony full forward or Murphy? Now, bear in mind, you can play Murphy anywhere.
So that's a tough question there.
But
now,
would you put him full forward and put Murphy out the pitch, or what way would you do it?
I suppose, you know, you would probably put Murphy out around the middle and put it under Tony there, would you? Is that the answer that you're looking for, isn't it?
That sounds like a good plan. That sounds like a good plan. Noel McCool is here. Tony, can you give Noel the mic? No, we're talking about semi-finals and finals, but going back to 1964... could you give us a wee bit of a wee trip back to memory lane about that time and maybe a bit of build up the final itself or what you took from it?
Well, I'll go back a little bit further because in 1956 we had a great minor team that year and went through the Donegal thing easily. Won the final, beat Donegal Town very, very easily. And that was the first time that there was young people coming aboard in this area. At that time, Dunloe was the headquarters of the Gardaí here. So there was a lot of Gardaí coming in and every time. And every Dunloe team that you looked at, there was two, three, four Gardaí and so forth. Now, some of them were terrific, stayed here and everything else. But as we won the two and the 57, there was a whole amount of that 56 team that they started to play. There was about six of them that was in and out. I was one of them myself, didn't hold me place very long, but there were always somebody there to do it. And we had a very special place with all the others. Sean O'Donnell was out of this world, and he particularly the 58 one, he won that match on his own. We drew with Letterkenny in the first match, And in the second match, we won by a point. And
history might repeat itself, do you think?
Huh?
History might repeat that one.
Well, it's the same two teams. We have met them off now, and they would have the upper hand and so forth. But we did then start getting good young players coming, and that was tremendous. Now, a lot of the older players, and if we can remind you of a fellow called Eddie O'Donnell from Critch Island. Eddie spent his time working in Scotland and everything else, and he came back. And Eddie had a great pair of hands. He could catch the ball anywhere. And he arrived back. And that was the time the all football was played in certain areas. There was five areas there, and then a boy from that went to pick the team and so forth. And Eddie was picked anyway in 57 to play with Donegal. And when he arrived out in Letterkenny, he didn't know half the people that was playing with him. They had to introduce him to the whole lot. But that was part and parcel, not alone of Donegal, all of the West Coast and everything else. So it was great to get young people coming. And so we, as I said then, Sian took over, particularly in the 58 one, and helped us. Now, we got some great guards that stayed with us for a lifetime and were terrific, like Frank White, that came to live in the town here and everything else. But it was tough going, of course, and travelling and everything else, and that was cars were just coming along. So, but so we, in the two in the 60s, we 61 and 64, and sad to say, after losing that 64, we haven't been in the final until now. So well done to all the boys here that got us this far. The bulk of them are nearly all from the town and here, so forth.
Yeah, we'll
so
give a round of applause here. Well, that's first class. Listen, I love the trips down History Lane, and just I suppose the changes you've seen now, unless you've spent a life in the GAA from everything you've done. And the club now is on up and up. Great scenes there, great buzz about the town.
Oh, there's a terrific buzz now and everything else, as you know. And when they asked me, would I come, and I started to look at these things of the players that was playing and everything else, and I started looking who was on that, was he on, and so forth. But one of the things that frightened me altogether, I did the Dunlow 57, 58 team, and then looked at it and start marking the letter D,
yeah.
Gone. And there's 15 or 16 of those gone. It's, you know, it was frightening and everything else. But they all give good service and everything else, and please God, it'd be great. And we were lucky to have boys like this guy here making the All-Ireland team and being such an old. That was terrific. And so, and the young ladies around now are terrific. Maybe we're going to have some time with them and so forth. But whoever or whatever team is in the final and is representing us, we'll always be behind.
100%. Thank you very much. No. Top man. Thank you. A man, Jimmy, a man that's always smiling, no matter what seems to happen. Is it? He doesn't be grumpy though at time. Who's that, Jimmy? There's somebody at you. See, when your back's turned, somebody's...
I know, I'll fist them up later on.
You'll sort them out. Jimmy, listen, I suppose, your own memories from your time playing and, you know, where things have gone now in sport and, of course, the buzz this season.
Well, wild buzz around the town. And unfortunately, I remember all these days that Niall has spoken about in the 57, 58s. I remember those. I remember the rows over the road there and everything. But, it was wild excitement around. Great bunch of fellas now at the moment. They all came. Do you see that a team comes together? this team of ours came together. They're a great bunch of fellas. Great bunch. But I keep saying to them, they talk about Dunlow, and the last team that there was in the county final from from the Rosses was Rosses Rovers. It was a great against the great St. Joseph's team. I played on that at cornerback, and I said to them, it's a great thing to play in a county final. So enjoy yourselves on Sunday. Really go out and give it everything. And I've no doubt, towards the end of the hour, you, Brendan, and the rest of the Unis lads might be doing a wee bit of sweating. You know,
are we looking to the bench? Be nobody else.
I know. They're a great bunch of fellas, and they never say die. They just go at everything. They're a great bunch of lads.
Yeah, fair play.
We're very proud of them. Very proud.
Nice stuff, Jim. Yeah. We're getting that break in a minute. I'm just going to throw a question to Brendan. Brendan, we're just saying down the car, coming down to play here. This was always a tough place to go. You know, it's remarkable it's taken this long to get there, because there were so many good teams here. As I say, always a solid side, hard to beat. Just, as I say, that semi-final thing just seemed to elude them. But there was never a day we ever, no matter how good we were going, come down here and thought we were going to win, thought it was a guaranteed one.
No, I'll have to be honest, it was never a place I looked forward to coming down and playing, so it wasn't without a doubt. But you always got a tough battle, always big, strong, physical lads like Raymond, big Mark Clarkin in the middle of the field, and you were going to be bounced about the place a fair bit, so you'd know you were in a game, so you would for definite after it. But with some really good battles with Dunlow at the time, and it's great to see the new generation now pushing on, and, you know, after winning an intermediate title 2 years ago, to get to a final. It's fantastic to see that, and I know a lot of the young fellas, particular the likes of Paddy's young fella, Damien, Darren, Oran Gallagher, and Karen McGee. All these fellas have been involved with minor under 21 panels, under 20 panels over the last couple of years. So you get to know them, and you get to like them. Luke Clark, another lad who has been injured all year, and I'd say he'd be near a bit more fit coming into the final this week too. So he'd be pushing for a place. So you get to know these lads and you get to like them and you want to see them do well in their football careers. Of course, I don't want that to continue on past Sunday at 4 o'clock,
you coach somebody to do damage against the students now, is that it?
But they, as you say, Brendan, they were tough games always coming down here. And, you know, I remember being up in the Canal Inn watching Tony win his All-Ireland in 92. I wasn't even in Donegal at the time and got a great buzz out of it. We were in Sligo when they arrived back in Sligo. We were in Donegal Town when they arrived back in Donegal Town. I think we should generally take the week off, whoever won the All-Ireland. We ended up there for the week. So we had a few big days in Donegal after the 92 All-Ireland. And I always get slagged at home because I had a gammy knee like Tony. And I think that's where the similarities ended. So it was.
Good left foot, mind you.
Well,
Tony didn't use us too often. Listen, folks, we'll be back after this break for more of this build-up to the final. Welcome back, folks, to Rosses Park here, Dunlow. Oh! We're into part two. We're getting into nitty-gritty. I might have to... You maybe put
you,
me...
You just need to...
I'll go on round the back here somewhere.
Bit, you know. Don't be taking any notes either.
I want to hear some stuff.
Don't be giving out anything,
stuff.
You know.
He wasn't
divulging much on the way down in the
game. No,
get something juicy.
I was trying to get some questions answered out of him, but it didn't really materialise.
We were chatting away. Did you get into the car? Yeah. Don't trust these turbine boys at all. Sharks, I hold on.
See, I'm on the Dunlow side here, you know, so there's three turnies here and that. So.
Extra biscuits coming there. Hey, I want to throw you Conal Dunn's sandwich nicely here in between Tony and Ray. It's probably never happened before, but Conal, again, just like Brendan, you know, your memories of playing Dunlow over the years and coming down here and championship battles we had.
Yeah, well, a bit like Brendan, it was never a place you were looking forward to. Maybe it was the journey down, or you'd be, if it was anything like you're driving tonight, you know, you'd be a bit carsick maybe when you got down here. But there were some serious battles down here over the years. I remember, even if you're coming in, you were flying high in the league, it sort of, you know, farms out the window almost, you know, and there were some serious battles. I remember one year down here, maybe it was 06 or 07, we had a great championship win down here, but then it was back when you had a home and away thing, and I think they nearly turned us over back in O'Donnell Park then, where I think we got a last minute equaliser just to draw, and a draw then was enough to send us through. So that was, you know, and again, that was a very good Dunlow team. I think we went on maybe to win the championship that year. So it just shows you they were never far away. And I suppose, as Tony maybe and Ray said, they just probably never got quite over the line. But they're always a team to be respected, I suppose.
Yeah, certainly. Tell me, what about this St. Peter's Terrace? What's the story of that place, Tony? Has this produced a lot of footballers, or has it created?
There would be a few, right? The famous, now departed, unfortunately. It would have been great to see him, Fred Sweeney. I see John's down, John's his son, down the back there. And Fred would have four grandsons involved on Sunday. And then you'd have Danny Galler, who was the keeper in 87 and the under 21 team from there.
Danny used to call it the Bronx.
Sorry?
Danny used to call it the Bronx.
And you have obviously the Sharkies brothers, Kieran and Sean, from there. So you had a fair sprinkling of talent. I'm probably forgetting someone now. I'll get killed. But that would be where a lot of the mainstays. And obviously, sorry, I forgot the main man himself, unfortunately, dearly departed, was Liam Riley, who managed the club for years. Martinez down there making the tea for everyone. Liam was a stalwart, a Bell Mullet man, but managed the club. I would say Liam probably give me my debut at senior level, and a great club man, you know. And he would be, you know, some of the people that are not here, unfortunately, would be fantastic if they were here to see the boys. As I said, the main thing I'm actually looking forward to on Sunday is seeing the team march around behind the band, you know, to believe that, you know, our boys are in a county final, you know, and hopefully then after that the game will look after itself.
Yeah. And Brendan, is this where the occasion differs so much in terms of unions and Dunlow? As Tony's saying there, you know, massive day. It's such a buzz for unions. You know, they're in a county final, probably. It's something that's maybe expected of them. You know, is that going to be a very different thing in terms of how both teams is approaching this big day?
Yeah, listen, the occasion, county finals are massive occasions. You know, you're setting out with any team at the start of the year. Your aim is, you know, to be in a county final. And when you're there, there's only two teams now that have a chance to win it. And listen, it's going to be huge. Unions have been there on a fairly regular occasion, so they have over the last number of years. It's obviously Dunlow's first time for 60 years. So I totally hear what Tony's saying there. That occasion and the colour they're going to bring and the crowd they're going to bring and the noise that they're going to bring on Sunday. And it's how the young fellas can deal with that, I suppose, because it does create a certain nervousness, but you can channel that nervousness into, you know, a real steadfast determination. And in a strange way, the pressure is probably all on St. Junan's this weekend, Brendan, from the point of view that, you know, they're such hot favourites that they're going to be expected to win. And, you know, I always have a, you know, from experience down through the years, Brendan, and you've been there too, you know, we've been in other finals that we were expected to win and win comfortably, and it hasn't transpired like that. So, you know, you're going into the game, and Dunlow, people won't, you know, the general chat out there is that unions are expected to win. But Dunlow have, you know, they're there totally on merit. They're going to bring huge energy to the fight, so they are, and huge aggression, you would imagine, that they'll keep it tight early on in the game and try and, you know, frustrate the unions' attack. They'll get bodies back behind the ball, you would imagine. And they'll make it difficult for St. Junan's. And it's how St. Junan's and how they can deal with that, how the St. Junan lads can deal with that and deal with that pressure. And, you know, we haven't covered ourselves in glory always before, and that, yes, we've won a lot of championships down through the years, but it always hasn't worked out that way. And county finals are funny, so they are. And, you know, I've experienced the county finals in Sligo, and I've experienced the county finals up here, and there is no script for them. There is no script for them. It's about the players, the 15 men that cross the white line, and the subs that are introduced on the day that'll dictate how that transpires. But, you know, it's going to be a great... I'm really looking forward to it, and I'm, you know, I think it's a novel. I think it's a great novel that we have a team from Dunlow in the final. It just brings that huge novel factor, and I expect massive colour. And I'm hoping that the St. Junan supporters turn out in force too, and really make a huge occasion of it.
Definitely so, and I do believe they will. Dunlow will come out in numbers, and I suppose as we move towards that big question, Raymond Sweeney, where can Dunlow beat St. Junan's?
That's a good question. Having looked at them so far, they've managed to keep, you know, the scores down in terms of teams beating them. Obviously, they've beaten Niamh Connell and Glenties twice. So if Dunlow were going to be in with a shout maybe on Sunday, potentially a goal could make a huge, massive difference to the team, to the game. But again, when you're looking at Unions, you're looking at their attack as well and trying to curtail those players, you know, the O'Donnells straight up the middle. And again, trying to keep them scoreless. You've a bunch of good defenders as well that can attack as well. And then they have a strong bench. So it's going to be, obviously, as Brendan has alluded to, is they're going to, Unions are going to be favoured, surely. But, you know, we've read the script before. You know, Unions have been favourites on previous years, and sometimes it hasn't worked out. Hopefully that's the case this Sunday. But as I say, it's going to be an interesting affair. I do probably agree with Brendan that it's going to be tight and cagey earlier on. Maybe what potentially might make the difference to Unions is their bench. You know, they've a lot of strong players to bring off that have lots of experience. And I would imagine that experience could be huge on Sunday. But as I say, you just don't know. You know, we were expected to beat Ardrahan and the ladies, and, you know, it didn't transpire that way. So, and that's football. There is, Brendan says, there is no script, and you don't know what could happen. But a goal potentially on Sunday, or a goal for any team or any side, could be a massive difference.
Looking at that, suppose Conor will bring you in here. Looking at that performances from St. Junans, you know, you look at Niamh Connell. You know, very much so frustrated. St. Junans didn't allow to get the running game going, and Gidor actually did it as well. Is that a template where Desi can look at and say, look, that's a way, that there's a couple of secrets there, potentially how to beat this St. Junans side?
Yeah, well, I mean, in the Niamh Connell game, I suppose it was maybe a game of two halves, and the first half, St. Junans were very much to the forefront there, and I suppose that in the game against Gidor, I suppose Unions lost Conor Morrison at a sort of crucial point, maybe 15 minutes into the game, on a black card, and I think that probably allowed Gidor, you know, they had an extra man for maybe 10 minutes or so, and that allowed them to get a sort of a footprint into the game and stay in the game. And, you know, I think very much that's going to be the same from Dunlow on Sunday. The longer that they can stay in the game, then they're going to see they have a chance. You know, thinking back to some of the county finals we would have won in the past, a lot of them, I think we nearly had them won at half time. You know, I'm thinking back, we played maybe Glenswilly in 07. We were probably 4 or 5 points up at half time. Same with Terman 08. Even Glenties in 09, or Niamh Connell in 09. You know, we were definitely a few points up. And it's sort of, if St. Unions go in at half time, I think the first half is going to be crucial. If Unions go in at half time, 4 up or 5 up, it's going to be a long way back from Dunlow. Whereas if Dunlow can keep it to within a couple of points, and just, you know, similar to what Gidor did the last day, and you never know, then if you get into the stretch, then, you know, a goal, anything could happen. Like Sean Patton was probably the saver of Unions in the semi-final. So I think the first half's going to be key in how Unions sort of assert, if they can assert their authority in the game and step up. They're probably going to step up on kickouts and push up. And then I think the other point there is just, it'd be interesting to see what way Unions go from their lineup, because, you know, in some of the last games, you know, in the semi-final there, they freshened it up, and even in the quarter-final, you know, Owen McGeehan was left out, so there may be the team that picked, maybe picked for finishers as well, so it'll just be interesting to see that dynamic as well, to see what happens.
I did ask Brendan the question, but he was giving me absolutely nothing, folks, about the and suppose that's a fair point, Brendan, you know, he's half changed it up a wee bit.
Right, listen, I think the boys have mentioned, Ray's mentioned it, they're a big squad. So I think we approach each team as who we're playing and what they've got, and you can ship things about. That can be tough on people, you know. It's one of the toughest sides of, you know, management, picking teams that, you know, lads could come and argue a good case that they should be starting. But the only thing is then, and it's going back to what Ray said, that those, you have those boys to bring in. You're almost at a stage now with football where you want to keep somebody very good, at least one or two on the bench, because as the game hopefully opens up, you never know, it might open up a wee bit but if the game does open up, you want people coming on that can cause a problem. So now, if that was me as a player and you said to me, here, you're actually, you know, you're good enough to start, but we're going to keep you, I'd be like, get lost, I want to play. So I think in the modern game now, so different to the way it changes now, that squads is the key. You need people to come in. And I think particularly if a team is going up and down the pitch so much, the fitness and that takes, when you think about it, you know, myself and Tony just to hang about inside there, get a couple of handy balls, say, and one and out free and what have you. But if you're going up and down, it's not just the physical, the mental, because you're basically attacking and defending as one. And it takes so much, you know, mental strength and composure to do that. And I think that's why I think the squads have become so important now. And that's why you see the squads getting bigger and they want more subs being able to come in, you know. So I think that's why St Union's have changed it about so much. That's, I suppose, a good sign from what's happening on the training pitch.
I suppose, Tony, going to bring you in here and just looking at this this opportunity that Dunloe has. It's massive. It's a huge opportunity. They're in a county final. They're not going there to make up the numbers.
No, absolutely not, Porrick. You know, it's when you look back, you know, the last 4 years for the club, you know, from both ladies and the men's has been unbelievable. You know, the ladies have been in four county finals in a row. The men have been in three. They've been in two intermediate, lost the first, won the second, and now they're in a county senior final. So to be in three senior finals in 4 years is brilliant. So and as Paddy's already said, you know, the club is going from strength to strength, but they're not. Unfortunately, I think I seen it, was it last night, the bookies, I think Unions are 1-8 on, so we probably have zero chance, but on Sunday, but listen, I think the big thing for Desi and the management team will be the matchups, and that's going to be probably difficult, because if you look at maybe the semi-final, obviously, you know, we had to keep an eye on Michael Langan. We didn't know whether he was going to be there, but you might have one or two players, same against Glen Swally. You know, you had to keep an eye on Murphy and Copper, and that the problem with Sunday, you know, there's probably 5, 6, 7 that Dunloe's going to have to keep an eye on, you know, and that stretches a team, you know, depending on who's picking who. But listen, the team are not going up to make numbers. That's for sure. Listen, there's massive excitement about the town and the surrounding areas, and because we've never been there, you know, very few apart from Niall and Jimmy and one or two others have been involved in the county final. We haven't. So we're, you know, supporters, and we are supporters, even though we're heavily involved in the club. We're going to enjoy it. But I know the players are really, really focused, you know, really, really focused on the job in hand. And I know Desi referenced about, or one of the boys, Dara, I think, was at game 7 out of 8, you know. So they were obviously planning to have a long season. And, you know, we were back on, with the girls, because we're training for the Ulster campaign, both in the seniors and the minors. But to see your county, or to see your senior men still out training this time of year, you know, down to the last two, it's brilliant. But we'll probably need a lot of things to go right for us on Sunday. You know, the team will need a lot. I think, I agree with Ray, I think a goal, because there hasn't been too many goals. We got two against Glen Swally early on, and that was probably the difference and give us a bit of a foothold. I think a goal in a game like this, you know, sort of a wee bit surprised what the way Brenton lines out his team, because I've been told to some that makes all the calls in the backroom team. I thought against, you know, after they knocked Niamh Collin out, you know, they might want to get over. But I suppose the way the game is played now, nearly every team is playing similar type of tactics, you know, that you have 13 behind the ball, and listen, it can make it interesting. It doesn't make it pretty to watch at times, but when your own team's involved in it and you're winning, you know, you're still enjoying it. But I would agree with both Brendan and Ray, you know, that, you know, we probably need it to be a tight match. We need to be in the game at half time, and hopefully if we're in the game going down the stretch, because listen, Brendan and Neil had it on the head, like, all the pressure's on Unions. You know, there is a fair bit of pressure there. You know, their championship pedigree, you know, is up there at the top of the at the top any club in the county, you know. And obviously we're coming in after 60 years, but you know, we're very proud of that group of lads, you know, not only on the field, because you know they've been heavily involved in the development of the new field. You know, we ran a draw, and a lot of the boys, you know, Jason McBride, Mark Kern, boys like that, were the driving forces behind that, you know. So I remember when I was back playing, there was a time you'd be playing and you had a lot of boys that thought turning up on a Sunday and playing for your club was enough. You know, it's only when you retire you see all the work that goes on behind the scenes. And to be fair to this group of Dunlow lads, like they've bought into the club, you know, over this last 3 or 4 years, and they're driving the club on. And you know, to see young fellas, when we were out training on Monday, running over to Mark Kern, you know, Mark, can I get your gloves after the county final, just to witness that is brilliant, you know. But they I've no doubt the boys will put on a good show on Sunday.
Yeah, listen, you're putting pressure on me. I'm thinking, I'm definitely not making all the calls. That's not how... You're going to put me in charge of anything. That's definitely not happening. But don't be putting any of that. No, listen, we formed a management team the start of the year. Barry and Sharks come up and met me, and Dalton, then be a mate of mine.
You're a bit in the defensive there, are you?
We're
getting it out of
listen,
it.
We do everything together, thankfully, hey, because if it was all left to me, there'd be some carry on going on. Hey. I'm kind of in charge of it. I'm in charge of entertainment, hey, that'd be about it.
This rhetoric that he's been, you know.
When everything gets quite serious, I kind of change it up to it, hasn't it? But no, things have got very serious out there now. I mean, Lord, the amount of stuff. I mean, in 2012, myself and Mickey McGeehan came in, and Eamon O'Boyle was in there, and you know, you basically had small set of games, and you get a bit of buzz at training, and you know, give it a bit of, and then you basically played. You know, what was it? One man come out from the full forward line, or you know, there's very little tactics. Now it is night and day. I mean, I have a wee video room in the house, like the War Office. It's just constant stats and watching teams and plays, and oh my God. So hey, this is a 1 year hit for me. I'm in, or I'm out.
Well, I hope for Dunlow's sake, you know, that they're victorious on Sunday.
I'm going to determine then if
you're going to. You're not coming down to us now. You stay up in Newton. Enough trouble. I suppose as we just run out of time, but suppose, Brendan, just looking at this Dunlow side, phenomenal. If you look at the conditioning of these lads, you know, there is a huge threat. You've Shane O'Donnell, Niall O'Donnell, just to name a few, you've Porrig Boyle. Those particular individuals within that unit squad, you know, have that, you know, ability to really tear a team apart, you know. But Dunlow, to their credit, have a really, really strong structure, defence, and look, they'll not fear those lads.
No, definitely not. And like, you're right, there's no doubt Unions have some really talented players. So they have, and you know, the three O'Donnell brothers, Owen McGeehan and Porrick Boyle, came in this year, that they've a lot of threats up there. But strangely enough, looking at Dunlow, I think defensively is where they are strongest. You have the three Curran brothers, Aaron Ward, Karen McGee. They're top footballers. Like, they are really good players. So they are. And they're a good age. They're physically in great condition. Like, you know, they obviously have the work done in that respect. So, you know, I think that they'll have a plan to deal with all that danger that the Unions obviously possess. It's whether they have Dunlow have enough up the top end of the pitch to hurt Unions at that end and to get the scores on the board. That's where the question remains. And, you know, they've done enough to date, so they had. And Tony referenced, you know, they got two early goals. I think it was Darragh Gallagher and someone that's got two early... got the early goals against Glenn Swilly that gave them a platform to go on. And, you know, I'm sure, like, that was the big, big win for Dunlow. That, I'm sure, instilled huge confidence into the team to be able to go into a semi-final and feel brave enough to go out and beat a good St. Michael's team. But they know they're going to have to step it up again. Like, they know they're going to have to produce, Dunlow know they're going to have to produce their performance of the year next Sunday against what is a very good St. Junan's team. Of that, there's no doubt. Like, you know, defensively, we have some brilliant, you know, one-on-one defenders and some very athletic players that can play a system but can also play man-to-man. So it's whether Dunlow have enough threat up at the top end of the field to hurt St. Junan's, and they take full advantage of the opportunities that present themselves when they come their way. And, you know, we've watched all the games in the Championship, and games are tending to be very tight. And, you know, it's not easy. Like, every team that goes in against the St. Junans, because of the prowess that they possess throughout the field, are going to set up pretty defensively because they have to. And in when that happens, then Unans have to basically mirror that. It just tends to happen that way in the game. So what I would like to see, I suppose, from a St. Junans point of view, is more ambition when we do get turnovers in our defence in the 45-65, because there's great athleticism in that area, so there isn't this St. Junan's team to get up the field. And they use that against Glenties, against Niamh Connell, when they played them down in Davy Brennan Park in the group game. And I thought that they really showed that that's the way that Unions can really hurt teams. But in the, you know, the, they were very good against Clinties in the quarterfinal in the first half, but second half and against Gidor, they never really opened up and punished the opposition the way with the potential that they have, Porrick.
They definitely do have a lot of potential, but Raymond Swinney, I'm going to bring you in here now. Before we're just almost out of time, but huge occasion for Dunloe, and as I said to Tony and saying to yourself as well, you're just not there to make up the numbers. Desi and his side are going there to win.
Oh, definitely. You know, that when you were talking there, it was just trying to remember that group would have won an under 16 championship. There's a lot of that core group would actually have beaten St. Union's in a county final, and that's that same group now that are basically backbone on that team. You know, the Kearns are there. Darren wasn't on that team, but, you know, the rest of Matty and all them lads were on it. So, as you say, they're not coming there just to make up numbers. It's going to be a massive occasion, but having that experience of being in two previous, you know, as Tony mentioned, the last two intermediate finals 2 years ago, will stand to them. They'll not get overawed by the occasion. The way they're set up structurally is really important, and that obviously if they can keep it tight, then, you know, you'll go into the last maybe hopefully 15, 20 minutes really close. The goal could be potentially make a difference, but it could make things nervous for St. Union's because, you know, the favourites tag could weigh heavy on them, and if they're not maybe pulled away at that stage, you know, anything could happen. Nerves could kick in for Union's, and hopefully maybe it could be our day.
Definitely could. We're all hoping that. I think every other club in the every other club in the county is.
You want me to take it up from there?
You can.
Listen, folks, that was first class. I want to thank you so much for that. I just want to put a message out to Aideen Gillen there. She's just out of hospital. She's on the mend. We want to wish her well. As I say, all the interviews from the weekend are up on HighlandRadio.com. I want to thank the main man, Joe Dex, here for producing as ever. As I say, people from the club, everyone that's joined in this evening, as ever, very, very friendly. We'll be the best team win on Sunday. Thanks very much for coming out tonight.
Thanks very much, folks.
The DL Debate with Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love till 9 p.m. daily in Sarah's kitchen. And there's free admission entertainment every weekend.